Welcome to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. You might want to put your headphones on for today's episode, because we're going to be listening very closely. Have you ever been hypnotized by a sound? Sometimes when I catch myself zoning out, staring off into space, while my mind drifts to whatever subconscious thoughts it desires, I'll snap back. And I usually realize that the culprit for my wandering was the sudden introduction and focus on a sound. Air conditioners and refrigerators kicking on are a wonder at invoking this response from my mind. What would a podcast about those sorts of sounds and noises be like? I think The World According to Sound is the closest to making that sonic experience into podcast reality. The World According to Sound is one part history show, one part a study of nature and science, and another part musical appreciation. And all of that can happen in their 90-second show, with each episode focusing on one particular sound, like this one.
This is lightning. Well, the sound lightning makes in outer space. When lightning strikes down here, it releases all these radio waves out into the cosmos. They're called Earth Whistlers. People first heard Earth Whistlers back in the 19th century. They interfered with telephone lines and would creep into phone conversations. They were like little phone ghosts. Today, we know Earth Whistlers are made by the interaction of lightning with the planet's magnetic field. And since there are millions of lightning strikes a day, there's nearly a constant chorus around Earth. The World According to Sound is made by Chris Hoff and Sam Harnett.
See what I mean? The World According to Sound focuses on one sound, allowing listeners to tune in and specifically consider how that sound interests them or disgusts them. Creators Chris Hoff and Sam Harnett are joining me in the studio today to talk about sound and making a show based in audio rather than verbal narrative. Before we hear from them, here's another episode of The World According to Sound.
This is what Neil Harbison hears when he sees the color blue. And this is what he hears when he sees red. Harbison says he has achromatopsia. It's a severe form of color blindness in which everything appears as a shade of gray. So Harbison had a special antenna built to translate color into sound. He wears the antenna on his head and it sends sound waves into his brain. Every color has a different pitch. This is his whole rainbow from red to violet. Here's what it's like for Harbison out in the world. He's at a supermarket, and he's hearing all kinds of colors. The World According to Sound is made by Chris Hoff and Sam Harnett.
And joining me in the studio right now, the creators of The World According to Sound, Chris Hoff and Sam Harnett. Hey guys, thanks for coming in to chat.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Chris, you're a sound designer and audio engineer here at KALW, and we hear a lot of your work Monday through Thursday on Cross Currents.
That's true. That's what I do basically full time. It's pretty great.
And Sam, you're a reporter and a producer with stories that have been on Marketplace, KQED, PRI's The World, to name a few.
Yeah. I'm a full-time freelancer. Actually, it's funny. Chris and I started out in the same place, pretty much, here. We were both volunteers way back in the day. That's where we met.
What's way back in the day?
2006 and 7, 7 or so, 2007.
2007 and 8. Chris is a little older than I am, so his memory's kind of fading a little
fading
around
a
the
bit.
Edges.
So how did you two come together to start The World According to Sound?
That's kind of a good story. We went on a hike one day, Sam and I. We were talking shop, talking radio, and we found out that we are both kind of a little dissatisfied just with, not with what is being made in radio. Like, we think there's great stuff being made out there, but we were both sort of thinking, why is everything so heavily story and narrative based? And we just thought, this is the so-called golden age of radio. Maybe there's other things out there that aren't language based, that are actually sound based, which is what the medium is. And so we thought, hey, maybe we could do something along those lines.
Yeah, I remember the moment, like, we were just, like, shooting. It's like, all right, like, do you have ideas about what we could do? And it's, like, putting a lot of bad ideas out there. And I was like, well, what if we made a show that was sound? And we were both kind of like, nah, I don't know. It's like, well, just one sound. We'll just do a sound. We'll just play the sound, let people, you know, nah, it's never going to work. And then we just kept coming back to it. Like, okay, what if we do it like this? What if it was really, you know, a lot shorter? Like, the average podcast is something like 40 minutes. And it's like, yeah. Oh, what if we made it short enough that a listener didn't have to be carried through on some narrative where it wasn't like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Yeah, and then we, like, started coming to this, you know, the studio, meeting up and, like, trying things out. And it's like, all right, well, 60 seconds is, like, not enough if you really want to get somewhere. So we enlarged it to 90. And then we kind of got away from the idea. We started, like, putting too much story in, like, telling people too many facts.
Yeah, at the beginning, we had, I remember, about 60 seconds of talking and 30 seconds of sound. And we just found out that that was a total failure. So we actually switched it, and now we have about 30 seconds of talking and 60 seconds of sound. And that seems to be our magical area, where it's just enough information to understand the sound, and then you just listen to the thing. And you just sit there and absorb it.
One of the best compliments we get on the show, I think, is when someone listens and they're like, man, I listened to that thing about the mud pots. And, like, he's like, then I went to Wikipedia and I was, like, reading all this stuff. And, you know, the mud pots are this big and they're this and that. And people are, like, you know, saying all this stuff. And they're like, why didn't you tell us all that?
Right.
It's like, well, we gave you enough that you were, like, really interested. And you're like, you want to know how big they are, how frequent, you know, they appear, how they work. And, like, we got you to, like, think about it and want to do all that, and that's the goal. Because in 90 seconds, we can't, you know, physically, we can put, like, one more fact in, but we can never put all the information that you can, you know, get on your own.
So I'm curious how you brainstorm sounds to cover. Like, does it start with a story you might read or something that you hear or some feedback that you receive from someone who's like, dudes, mud pots, please record them?
Like, I found many just in conversation. Just being out in the world, having my ears open, people will say things and that'll make me go, oh, that could be maybe good. And I go home and research it more. Like, it's really just sort of just being out there and having your ears open, for me at least.
Most of the time people are like, yeah, they have really great ideas. Or they have, like, a great concept and then you start looking into it.
I have an idea.
All yeah. right, let's hear it.
What's the sonic world of KALW? How would you describe that, or what sounds would you pick?
Of KALW?
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, yeah. a lot of, like, sounds of, like, the creating of radio behind the
scenes. A lot of buttons being pushed, the physicality of a boop, boop.
Like, when you're warming your mouth up and you go, ah, ee, oh, ooh. Those are good sounds.
Those are really good sounds.
I
can't do them well.
I don't do that.
Oh,
coffee
well,
grinder. Coffee grinder is definitely one of those.
That's a big one here.
That's a big one here.
At the station.
There's an episode of The World According to Sound where the sound in question is silence. Do you have time to take a listen to the episode with me and answer some questions after?
I would love to. We would love to.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Here's Silent Song.
We're listening to a famous piece of piano music. The entire song is silence. The piece is called 4 Minutes 33 Seconds. The song was composed by John Cage in 1952. It's since been performed all over by classical piano players, as well as musicians in other genres, like rock star Frank Zappa. Here's his version. There's also a death metal cover. Even dubstep. With great speakers, you might actually hear some deep bass. In 2004, the song was played by an entire orchestra in England. The BBC aired the performance on national TV.
You're listening to The Spot on KALW San Francisco, and I'm in the studio now talking with the producers of The World According to Sound, Chris Hoff and Sam Harnett. So as a show dedicated to featuring very unique sounds, what inspired you to take on silence?
I think this is emblematic for what the show is trying to do, because you have this famous John Cage song about silence, right? It's like this big thing in the classical music. In classical music history, where he does this piece where the guy just sits at the piano for 4 minutes and 33 seconds and does nothing, right? And we were listening to some of the recordings, and you realize that in all the recordings, it's silence, but you can actually hear little things. Like, there's actually things in the silence. You can hear people coughing or rustling around. So when we did that episode, we have all these covers, right, of the silent song, and you hear that actually the silences are different. And also the space that we give to each silent song is a little different. So it's like, oh, wow, actually silence is never just nothing. There's actually things happening in silence. Yeah, and I don't know. I think it's really cool in radio, too, to, like, play something that has a huge part of the thing with no sound. It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, as like an engineer, too, I often strive to find places to put in big silences just to make people squirm a little bit. And so now here where we have one that, where it's like 30 seconds of silence, that really made me happy. I liked it.
I was happy to play it on the radio. I just played silence on the radio, and hopefully
weird, right?
I won't get fired.
But in that long chunk, there was all these people were coughing, and like it wasn't, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening, really.
Well, I really like that. To me, one of the big takeaways of that piece is just it reminds you that nothing is truly silent. I mean, maybe there are some spaces that are completely engineered to be silent, but you're always going to have a breathing if you're in that room with another person yourself.
Yeah. And again, it's like and perking your ears up. Like, the whole show is about paying more attention to the world's sounds, right? To be like listening for things, like kind of opening your ears and hearing stuff. I mean, just the entire premise that someone's covering a silent song. Like, why would you cover a silent song?
Right.
Like, what's the point? Oh, well, the point is, like, actually, every time you cover it, it's a little different, right? So I don't know. Like, I'm glad you chose that episode, because I think it embodies a lot of the things that we're trying to do.
So for folks who want to get more from The World According to Sound, how can people find the show?
Oh, there's so much more to be had, too. There's we got about 25 episodes up at theworldaccordingtosound.org. That is the best place to go. It is a sleek-looking website. You can also go find the show on iTunes, The World According to Sound.
And I've been binge listening on SoundCloud, just listening to the whole playlist, which you can do at the World According to Sound.
Yes, we have a whole playlist.
WorldAccordingToSound.org, too.
Yeah, it takes about 10 minutes to listen to all those episodes.
Hey, no, it's like 33.
All right.
Your math's terrible. All right.
It's hyperbole.
Thank you, Chris Hoff. Thank you, Sam Harnett, for joining us and talking about The World According to Sound.
Yeah, thanks for
a lot.
Having us.
It was great.
You're tuned to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best stories from indie radio producers and podcasts. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum. What happens when you work with sound every day, recording it, listening to it, manipulating it, and then one day, one of those sounds sticks around for good? Canadian radio producer Paolo Pietro Paolo has struggled with tinnitus since 2004. In case you don't know, tinnitus is a chronic ringing that you hear, similar to what you might experience after listening to a really loud musical performance. But Paolo hears it all of the time, and the experience has made him reconsider what makes us call certain things noise, silence, or music. In this story, he speaks with sound ecologist and Grammy Award-winning recordist Gordon Hempton, as well as his audiologist, Dr. Glynis Tidball, who runs the tinnitus clinic at St. Paul's Hospital in Vancouver, Canada. And as you'll hear, Paolo has woven these voices, along with the frequent sounds he hears, in order to create a kind of music that questions where the edge lies between signal and noise.
Silence. So, baseball.
Baseball.
Noise. Northwest. Northwest. Baseball. Hardware.
Noise.
Mm-mm.
This is the sound of inside my head. This is the sound of inside my head. Actually, it's more like this. Because it's only in my left ear. And fortunately, it's a lot quieter. Something maybe like this. Silence is my enemy. Noise is my friend.
Northwest?
Hello.
Hello, Paulo.
Hi, Gordon.
Airplane.
You know, I can empathize with your tinnitus. I know how much the inescapable component of it not only cuts you off from the outside world, but can drive you crazy. Do you mind if I ask you about being crazy?
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, I know.
Really, especially in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you just, like, you're lying there and you just think, A, I'm going crazy. B, I'm losing my hearing. C, something worse is happening. Because it's the middle of the night and it crowds out your thinking, too.
Yeah.
It escalates, you know what I mean?
Silence is my enemy.
Playground. One night when my husband and I were going to sleep, there was a dripping sound. And where we lived, the rain would fall on the windowsill and make this dripping sound. And he said, listen to the sound of the rain. I love that sound. And it made him happy, and it made him relaxed. And I hadn't even noticed the sound. And then when I heard it and listened to it more closely, I said, oh, that's not the rain. That's a faucet dripping in the bathroom. And he said, I can't sleep with that sound. I hate that sound. And he had to get up and turn it off. So it's the same sound, but in one context, his reaction was positive, and in the other, it was quite negative. I hate that sound.
Northwest.
Airplane. And I think if you start to be quite bothered by a sound, your brain may, in fact, turn up the volume of it.
Silence has been my enemy.
Since the tinnitus started. It's true, if somebody has tinnitus and it's bothersome for them, then you want to, you know, perhaps avoid silence.
Noise is my friend.
Noise, by definition, is unwanted sound.
Since silence has become my enemy, sounds that I would have previously considered to be unwanted, background hums, the fridge, air conditioning, the hum of the city, are no longer unwanted. They've become my allies.
Right.
To block out my tinnitus. So then I start to question the definition of noise as unwanted sound.
But you see, that's it exactly. It's not, they're not really noise to you, right? The hum of the city and so forth. That's not noise if it's not interfering with anything, if it's not unwanted.
How do you respond to my quandary, though, that ironically in the past 2 years I've often found myself being grateful for those electronic hums that make up such a part of our noise pollution?
Listen to your tinnitus more clearly and take interest in it. It still has its message. There's still something for you to hear in that will help improve your life.
Sound of inside my head.
Silence.
Noise. Noise. Tin in silent ear.
Silence.
Tin in my head. Noise. Eyes. Noise in. Silent playground. Machine.
Silence.
Northwest. Noise. Please find the off switch. Silent playground made to black.
Northwest.
Northwest.
Noise.
Playground.
So where are we? We are in?
We are at St. Paul's Hospital in the Audiology and Ear, Nose, and Throat Department.
Okay. And where are we going?
We're heading down to the sound booth.
Is that the constant hum of the hospital in the background?
It is the tinnitus of the hospital, Paolo.
Some people say tinnitus, some people say tinnitus.
Both are correct.
Both are correct.
Right, yeah.
Okay, but you say tinnitus.
I say tinnitus.
You say silence, I say noise.
So this is the deluxe sound booth. This is my side of the booth, where the audiometer is, and then patients sit on the other side.
Can we do a... can we test my hearing?
Yes, we can.
All right.
But you have to go to the other side. So have a seat there. Most people put in a soundproof booth and asked to listen for, say, 5 minutes will report hearing sounds that are like tinnitus sounds. What would you like to have tested? They're more likely to do so if there's a loudspeaker in the room.
Do I have hearing loss?
Do you have hearing loss? Okay. So the mere expectation of hearing a sound will make you more likely to hear tinnitus. Okay, so Paolo, we're going to put these headphones on you, and you're going to start by repeating back some words.
Okay.
Most people that have tinnitus have some hearing loss. Probably one of the most common forms of tinnitus is after you leave a very loud concert and you have a temporary loss of hearing, and with that comes tinnitus. So, Paolo, I'm going to ask you to say some words. Say whitewash.
Whitewash.
Hardware.
Hardware.
Playground.
Playground.
Birthday.
Birthday.
Northwest.
Northwest.
Airplane.
Airplane.
Good. I'm going to say those same words, but as I say them, my voice will get softer. And if you're not sure what I'm saying, just guess. Okay?
Okay.
Northwest.
Northwest.
Airplane.
Airplane.
Playground.
Playground.
Whitewash.
Whitewash.
For most people, tinnitus goes away after some period of time. Mm.
Boy, that's quiet.
Do you know the cause of your tinnitus?
Northwest.
I've just learned how to live with it, and I feel like I have a pretty mild case compared to some people.
Whitewash.
Have you tried changing your lifestyle any?
Playground.
I sort of have. I don't
listen
as much to my iPod as I used to.
Good. We're done that part.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
I used to also work in daily music radio, and sometimes I kind of wonder if just the overload is what led to the tinnitus in the first place. Hearing too much music all the time. And in a way, my question, my big question is, has music become noise?
Noise. Silence.
Noise. Noise.
Music. Silence.
Paolo, the next test that I'm going to do is going to see how clear speech is for you when it's at a comfortable level. Okay?
Okay.
Say the word pad.
Pad.
Say the word match.
Match.
Say the word deep.
Now, you
deep.
Say that
say
you have a background
catch.
In radio.
Say the word
and
jam.
So you had all this critical listening going on jam. Where you were editing jam. Together shows and
all the time.
All the time.
Say the word nice.
Nice.
Perfect.
Great.
So I have your test results here, and they are really good. So you can see your thresholds are a little bit better than zero. And zero represents the average hearing of an 18-year-old.
Baseball. Mm-mm. Maybe Northwest. Okay. So even though I have above average normal hearing, I still have this ringing in my ear. How is that possible? Where does the sound come from?
When we hear sound, what's happened is sound vibrations have traveled through air to our ear, And our ear has changed that mechanical energy into biochemical energy that the brain can interpret as sound. And that biochemical energy is essentially an electrical signal that travels through the auditory system of the brain. But there's enough background activity in the auditory system of the brain that we can hear it. And that is what tinnitus is, if we listen under the right circumstances or if something brings it on. So it's like the background hum of the brain. It's the sort of internal noise of the brain. Your brain will filter out information it doesn't need, and it's a good thing that our brain works that way, because if it didn't, we'd be aware of all sounds all the time. So our brain picks and chooses what it will bring to our conscious attention. If the brain identifies tinnitus as a threatening sound or an annoying sound, it is more likely to bring it to your attention. And that's when it can start to become a problem for people.
Noise. So in a way, it's taking a sound that was just background hum, it was just noise,
mm-hmm.
and it's converting it into signal. It's saying, this is something that I've got to pay attention to.
Listen to your tinnitus. It still has its message.
One of the things I've always wondered with you is, are you more tuned to hearing your tinnitus because you are so much of your life and your career is involved with listening?
Noise.
I mean, you're listening to everything, right?
Silence.
So that may make you more likely to be aware of tinnitus.
It's like a job hazard.
It's a bit of a job hazard for you, yeah. But if tinnitus is only there when you're listening for it, and then when you hear it, it's not creating any sort of negative reaction, then for most people it doesn't really matter if it's there. And so I do have patients that will come in, and after having done some therapy for a long time, they'll say, you know what, I couldn't hear my tinnitus until I really listened for it. And that's certainly not how they're feeling when they first come in. And some even say, I couldn't hear my tinnitus and I missed it. And that surprises them quite a bit, that they would have changed their reaction to tinnitus so much.
You think silence, I think noise.
That story was produced by Paolo Pietro Paolo, who I'm pretty sure has the most fun name to say in all of public radio. That story was also supported by In the Dark, an organization of radio makers and enthusiasts based in the UK. The group hosts live listening events throughout London and also provides support for independent radio producers, like Paolo. You can listen to more stories from their backlog at inthedarkradio.org. That's it for today's episode of The Spot. You can find this episode and more at our website, kalw.org. I'd love to hear about the podcasts and radio stories you love to listen to. Send them in an email to thespot@kalw.org. And tune in next Thursday, same time, for another episode of The Spot, only on KALW San Francisco.